that God gave for us tonight. And let's just ask the Lord to be with us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word. And we thank you that what you have to say to us will be something that we can carry on through this week and will be a blessing to us. God, I just pray that we will grow tonight together as we go into your word and what you have to say. In your holy and precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. And don't forget to, we'd love to have you guys here on any given Wednesday night because we do have an amazing time of prayer after. But getting into tonight's message is, I've entitled this message, Power Walking, basically Power Walking with God. My Grandpa Shaw died back in 2001, and I miss so many things about him, but probably one of the greatest things that I miss about my grandfather is the walks that I took with him. And in with our walks, it would be times, sometimes we'd be walking to go shoot guns or just laughing, having man talks, or just getting that grandpa wisdom. And one of the favorite things that I love about my relationship with God and my relationship with God is my walks with him, me walking out life with the Father. And this, I want to share throughout this message, there was a walk that kind of started back in 2017 where I was in Israel, and we were on our way to the Wailing Wall where we would park at a certain place, and it takes a while to walk down there. But God definitely met me on this journey to the wall, and I want to share that with you tonight. And God took me to a place that I desperately needed. How many of us know that God wants to walk with us through every aspect of life? Can I get an amen with that? In the past year of my life, you know, God has brought up some very specific things dealing with me and his church. And I want to read the scripture in Genesis 5, 21 through 24, and it says this, that when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And he became the after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God, then he was no more because God took him away. Let me read that last part one more time to you. It says that Enoch walked faithfully with God, then he was no more because God took him away. God reminded me that Enoch walked with God. And I would say that, you know, I would say this, that I believe that I do walk with God, but I can also say, and I think we can all say this together, is that we could be better walking partners with him. Amen. So here's some thoughts on putting power into the walk. And the first thought is this, and this is kind of long, and I'm gonna shorten it up for you, but we are the ones who walk with him, so we should be the ones who talk about him. Okay, we walk with him, so we should definitely be his mouthpiece. We should be talking about him. And there are a lot of people that have opinions about God, who he is he real or not, does he love, and if so, why does he punish, thoughts on forgiveness, and they have all kinds of thoughts on eternal life. And I want to be very honest with you, the majority of the people that are involved in these conversations or these opinions are people who do not serve God, people who don't even walk with God, not living it, not investing in it. They are speaking for us. I remember, now this is kind of where the story starts. This happened before me going down to the Wailing Wall. We were doing a dinner for the Holocaust survivors in Caesarea. And so that's beautiful. Thank you, Lord. No. but anyway, where was I? Okay, so we were doing a dinner for the Holocaust survivors in Caesarea, and they needed some supplies, and so I just said, well, hey, I'll get in a car, and I'll go, and this one dude who I had not met said, hey, I'll take you. I know where a hardware shop is, and we can pick up some things there, and I said, all right, man, let's go. So we're talking, we're kind of getting to know each other on the way over. It's about a 25-minute drive, and so we get the supplies that we need, and we're coming back, and he just goes, hey, man, he goes, you don't know this about me, but I love talking politics. And I just put my head back on the chair, and I just went, please, Lord, don't let this happen right now. I've got a 25-minute drive with this guy. I don't want to get into politics with this dude. And he goes, and so he starts sharing his opinions. And again, guys, everybody say opinions, okay? That's what he was giving me. He was giving me his opinions, and he's telling me how where America missed this, and why we're this in politics, why the church is suffering and doing this, and this is why God has punishment on whatever. And finally, I just had enough, and I sat up out of my chair, and I said, dude, I go, you don't even know what you're talking about. I mean, I literally just said, and he goes, well, look, man, you can't just get upset just because and not have facts to back it. And I said, everything that you have said, you have nothing to back anything that you just said to me. I asked him, I said, when was the last time that you were in America? And he goes, well, I'd already told you on the way over that I haven't been there for almost 7 years. I go, did you know that we're into our second president already, and you're telling me about America, and you don't even live in America? I said, bro, that's like me coming to Israel and telling you what's wrong with you and what's going on with the Palestinians and the Israelis and the church in the land of Israel, and I don't live here. And guys, here's the thought behind why I'm saying this, is that God reminded me as I'm walking down, after this happened, and I'm walking down, still a little heated from the discussion, still not happy that that happened on that day. It kind of messed up my vibe for the day of going to the Wailing Wall, and I was kind of in a place of kind of sulking. And God reminded me on this walk, Matt, you know me. And I need you to be better at representing me to others and talking about me. I want you to put my words in front of them. Every human is looking for a timeless word. They're looking for something that transcends time and earth and life and death, finding something authentic. Remember, we talked about this a week ago, that they're looking for something authentic and how that they can find something that they can apply to their lives. And we know God. We have seen how amazing he is to us in our families and how he has demonstrated his love to us in our families. We have Christ in our hearts. We move by his Spirit. Don't let the world speak for you when it comes to your God. Paul, in Acts 17, and I don't have time to go through this portion of Scripture, 22 through 31, Paul is speaking to their understanding. If you go, and I encourage you to write that down, go and read Acts 17, 22 through 31. He's speaking to them, and without once stating the name of Jesus, or without scaring them talking about hell, he paints a picture of a loving God who wants to walk with them. Amen. Nobody knows God better than you do, because you know what God has done for you. Can I get an amen? Amen. You walk with him. Can we all get better at walking with God? Yes. That's not in question. But we know him, so we should be talking about him. I think we all need to pray that God makes us better listeners. Better at not always needing to be right, but we really do need to get better at sharing Christ with others. So putting power in the walk, here's the second one. The do nots and the no mores of faith are not God's main focus. God cares about what's going on in the heart. He's not looking for traditionalism. He's not looking for legalism. He's not looking for rules, the do's and the do nots. He's looking at the man and the woman's heart. On my walk down to the Wailing Wall, I could tell he was preparing me. At that time, I was the pastor at 3-in-1 Church, and he was preparing me for the future of that church and as the people that would come to find him, that we would make the search, that search for God, as they would come into 3-in-1 Church, that we would make it easy as possible for them. And I believe this applies for Harvest today in 2021, that we're not creating hoops, that we're not making unrealistic expectations, no assumptions, no do's or don'ts, but we just allow God, let them come into the house of God and allow God to take control of their hearts, to have access. So we're walking down to the Wailing Wall. If you've ever been, if you haven't been, I'm going to take you at some point if you can go. Amen. But when you're walking down to the Wailing Wall, there's a little section for the men where it kind of breaks off to the side and you can wash your hands or whatever you want to do. And then you walk down and they have a thing in the middle that's just got a bunch of paper or kind of cardboard keepas. Just in case you don't have a hat, you can put a keepa on when you go down to the Wailing Wall. So we're about 30, 40 yards away from just getting to where those cardboard hats are. And all of a sudden, this rabbi Orthodox rabbi comes up and he's just screaming at us all. There's like, not just my group, I mean, I'm talking like there's just people all around and he's screaming at them to take off their hats. And he's pointing at me, take off your hat, you know, because I was wearing like a 49ers, whatever, cap or something like that. And he's yelling, he's screaming, he's throwing his fit. And I'm sitting there in my head and I'm starting to get upset. I'm like, what does this do? You know, and I'm starting to get like an attitude. And all of a sudden, like the Lord just goes, he's just calming me down. And we're walking down there. And it's all of a sudden he tells, it's like in my spirit, I just look down at the place where we were going. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching this guy throw a fit. He's throwing a fit all the way down. And then all of a sudden he has to put his hat on. Is everybody following me? He's telling us, rules, however he feels, take your hat off. But we're actually walking to the place that he's actually, because of his rules and traditions, he has to put his hat on. All that screaming. And I'm watching people because they have to take their hats off. They don't want to take their hats off. They turn around and don't even go to the Wailing Wall. But here's this guy yelling and screaming. And then all of a sudden, the one thing he's screaming at us to take off, he actually has to put on as we go to the wall. And I wonder how many people the church has run off due to our man-made rules. And I wonder how many people the church could have discipled for God if we would have cared more about the heart than the appearance. Every human being wants access to something bigger than themselves. They might not know what that is, but I promise you they want it. And God was very clear to me. Guys, listen to this. Harvest, we have to be ready to love. Praying for a great capacity to love. The addicted, the mockers, the suicidal, the liars, the cheaters, the hurting, the hungry, the sick, those who do not know the rules. This is not even in my notes. This just popped in my head. My wife and I were on our 15th wedding anniversary. We flew into Maine. And we were going to drive down the coast to South Carolina, Myrtle Beach. And we were just taking our time, just hitting places as we came down the coast. And I remember we were in Maine, and we were having to go through New Hampshire and all that down there. And there was a church that was kind of, it was on Sunday. And Lori loves to go to churches while we're on our trips and stuff. And so we found an Assemblies of God church. We called them. They said, come on, yeah, we'd love to have you and the whole thing. And Lori said, I heard her say it on the phone. She goes, now, My husband has no jeans or pants. You know, all he has is shorts. Is that going to be? Oh, yeah, we'd love to have, you know. So, guys, we show up in our shorts, and we go to church. And let me tell you what happened. Not one person would talk to us. We felt like completely isolated, not wanted. Nobody shook our hands. Even before the service was even over, we could tell, like, as soon as he said amen, everybody just kind of dispersed to get away from us. And I'll never forget that feeling. I'll never forget it. An Assemblies of God church in America still treating people like that just blows my mind. So guys, I caught myself saying, yeah, but what if they don't do this and they don't do that? I remember having this conversation even as I was kind of just on this journey with God. And God says this to all of us. Don't worry about what they are doing or what they don't know. Just give me a chance to gain access to their hearts. Let's just read the scripture. We know it in 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Thank you, God. And I want people to be able to relate and understand a scripture like Psalms 51:10, where it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Philippians 4:7 says it this way, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God is saying this to me. He's saying this to Harvest. I believe this, that Harvest has to be a place where people can find me, and I want you to make it easy for them. And here's the next thought, putting the power in the walk, is that God says there is value. Everybody say value. There is value in walking it out with me. Talked to just a week ago, or not too long ago, about pressing into God. You see, pressing into God raises the bar in your commitment to Christ. You know, Enoch discovered something first. He was the first to discover it, really, in this way. He was the first to see the value in it. He didn't just walk with God once. He made a point to meet with God for the rest of his life. Lori and I take a lot of walks. We have this 2-mile walk that we'll do with our, well, before we had two with our even our dog, but now we have two, and so we're walking, you know, we walk our pups. We do a lot of walks. We've been doing it ever since we moved out here. And the thing is what I found in the value of these walks is because we will talk about the day. Sometimes the day has gone so bad that we don't even really have a word hardly to say because we're just so stressed out. We talk about things that happen at work. We talk about things at the church. We just the walk, we enjoy our time together. We see the value. No matter what each walk might bring, we understand that it's important for us to have this time together because it is valuable. Amen. And guys, so here I am heading down to the Welling Wall. We're back to it. This is the journey that the Lord has taken me. I've just had this altercation with a guy about politics that I didn't want to have a conversation with. I have a rabbi screaming at us to take off our hats and then to put them on 30 yards after. And then I get down to the wall, and when we were at 3-in-1 Church, what we did before the trip was we had the whole church write down prayers that they wanted to go into the wall. Now, guys, listen, I understand that God is not the wall. I understand that. But it was putting it onto paper. It's putting those prayers down and going down and having the team when they're in Israel at the Wailing Wall just praying over these. So I'm sitting there and we've distributed the prayers. We've prayed over them. And even before we left, a group of men at our church surrounded Lori and I and prayed over our son Chase. So we even had a prayer for that. And so I'm putting them in the wall and I'm praying over them and got to the last one. And then God just said this. He just said, it was like God said, okay, you are here now. Now what do you have to say to me? Okay, you're putting in all these prayers of all these other people. He says, you're here now. What do you have to say to me? And guys, I remember at that point that I just began to praise God. I proclaimed him, his majesty. I began to weep. I remember that a rabbi came over and was kind of, because I was kind of crying and whatever, and he just said, son, I see, you know, you're worshiping the Lord. He says, but why don't you come over here? And I remember he sat me down by my buddy and he gave us these scriptures in Psalm 16, 32, 41, 42, 59, 77, 90, 105, 137, 150, because that's what all of the rabbis were there were praying over that day. And he said, just pray these, you know, and all this. And so I began to pray those and sitting in there and just publicly talking to the Lord. And guys, here's the thing is that after a while I thought, why did he ask me to sit down? God didn't tell me to sit down. And so I got right back up and I went right back up to the wall again. And I just started praising the Lord and crying before him and crying out to him, praying over those things. And guys, here's the thing is, I wanted to publicly recognize the one who walks it out with me, the one that I want to walk it out with. And you know, I've showed a video before of a rabbi that was down there one year, and he was praying and all this, and these guys are telling him to shut up, and the more that they told him to shut up, the more that he cried out even more. And they just stood there with their arms crossed, watching him, waiting for him to stop. And that's the thing is that the world wants to speak for us, but God is calling us to speak for him. Amen. And it was right then and there that I was reminded of the value that there is in walking it out with God. If I'm walking with God, if I feel him, I have nothing to fear because he is with me. He listens to me. I listen to him. He knows my heart and I know his. Even when I'm messy, God is still going to wait to walk it out with me. He rewards me for my commitment through favor, through blessing, healing, answered prayers. And there is life in walking with him. He knows our name. He knows our hearts. And I am an eternal resident of heaven, and I will be because of his love for me. Genesis 5:24, look at it again. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. God isn't saying that if you will become super spiritual, I'll take you up to heaven. That's not what this is about. God is simply saying and showing us that I loved to walk with this man. And I believe this for us, that God loves to walk with you. And I bring this word to you only to encourage you as a church and as friends that I love to press into God, to make the choice to walk with him, daily walking it out with God. Three things, just here's the three things very quickly of what we talked about. You know God, so talk about him. Let me say that again. You know God, so talk about him. Second one is don't let rules take the focus off of what God really cares about, and that is your heart. God cares about the heart. And then thirdly, that there is value. There's value in walking with God. Walk it out with him daily. Again, I mean, guys, listen, Lori and I think all of us can say the same thing. It's not that we're special or anything like that, but since 2007 to 2021, we have gone through some stuff. And it could have been church-related, family-related, whatever it is, but there's been walks where we just walked and we didn't really have to say anything because we just knew that the Lord was with us and he was taking care of us. And I want to close tonight just by reading how David speaks of God. And this is who David walked with. And it's found in 2 Samuel 22, verses 32 through 37. It says this: "For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He causes me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You make your saving help my shield. Your help has made me great. You provide a broad path for my feet so that my ankles don't give away." Walk it out with the Lord, amen? If I'm going to encourage you with anything, it's those three things. It's just talk for the Lord. Be his mouthpiece. Don't be afraid of those. Don't focus on the rules of the do's and don'ts. Let's just get them in before the Lord and let him see their heart. And then lastly, there is value in walking it out with God. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word. I just pray, dear Lord, that in some ways that we can take comfort and encouragement in that, that we don't have to be perfect to walk it out with you. The Lord, you love us as we are. You see us where we are and what we're going through. Father, it's just up to us to meet you. We got to come to you, dear Lord, because you're waiting for us. You never leave us. And I pray that we'll remember this. God, we don't have to be perfect. You're not looking for that. You're looking for commitment. You're looking for people that see the value in spending that time with you. So help us, Lord. Help us not to let tradition or rules or anything get in the way of seeing people come into this house. And when they do, that we'll make it easy for them that they can find your son, Jesus, and let the Holy Spirit do the rest. We love you, God. We praise you, dear Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in Harvest. We thank you for what you're doing for the future of this church. And Lord, we want to represent you well. Lord, we want to walk it out with you so that others will come to know and find your son, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you for who you are in our lives. Thank you for encouraging us. Thank you for the giving of your Holy Spirit, which we celebrated and praised you for last Sunday. Thank you for who you are in our lives. There is value. There's value in being in your presence. Bless us tonight in your holy and precious name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you guys, and we'll see you next Wednesday.